a former pro, an SEC analyst, and a damn good dog. Max Dinchcombe is only on the College Football Voice of the South. Presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union, Cigna Engineered Solutions of Georgia, and ASW Distillery.
Matt Stinchcomb, as he does each and every Tuesday, joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Matt, we talked about it late last week. We said maybe there's a way for South Carolina to make this game close. I don't think anybody saw this coming.
No, but the way that they could make it close is the way that they made it close. Not just close, but won the football game is the turnovers, right? It's just that's the long and short of it. You can look at a box score. You know, we're doing the Tennessee-Mississippi State game at the exact same time that this game's going on. And the truth is that Georgia has started slow just about all season. And you kept thinking, and I'm looking at the guy I do play-by-play with, and he's like, ah, it's early. And, you know, the concern would be you keep doing this and versus other teams on the schedule, they're going to take you up on it if you give them a chance to hang around and potentially beat you. But no one, I think, anticipated that South Carolina would be that team despite a slow start. But that's exactly what ended up happening. And if you're a non-Georgia person, you're going, this is the best part about college football. You just never know what's going to happen. The question will be now, if you're Georgia, how do you bounce back? Do you bounce back? Was it anomalous? Or was this, you know, have we been seeing symptoms of something that's greater and it just finally emerged? Versus South Carolina that finishes the game with their third-string quarterback.
I apologize if we did talk about this a couple of weeks ago, but I know I brought it up with Tony Barnhart. I know where Kirby Smart is going to build his this-is-who-we-are thing, and it's going to be a quarterback who plays the game the way that Jake Fromm does. But Nick Saban certainly has changed the mindset about what quarterback play needs to be in this conference and probably to win the whole thing. Have we now seen hard evidence that it's harder to be a championship-winning team if you don't have the arsenal, that bullet in your gun of we can play spread it out and we don't need 82-yard, 15-play drives to score?
Yeah, but I don't think that's specific to quarterback. I don't know that you can't do that and have to make a change or have a different type of player at quarterback. Georgia could do that with the guy they've got now. Now, some people are going to argue and say, yeah, but you need a runner at quarterback. I guess. You know, the other night, though, I'm watching it, and I did watch the game back, specifically on offense, because defensively, no, they didn't necessarily take over the game. Did they get short field stops in the second half? They didn't. You know, South Carolina was able to move it enough to where field position became an issue. You couldn't return punts when you were forcing them to kick it away to you. That defense played good enough to win the football game. Seven of those points early on, which was the bulk of the 17 points that South Carolina had, that's on the offense. Defense wasn't even on the field at the time. But offensively and watching it, yeah, you've got a quarterback that could. You're talking about an aberrant game, to say the least, an aberration, I guess, from Jake Fromm that you hope is not replicated anytime soon. It wasn't all on Jake Fromm, but they had opportunities. I'm not so sure that the offensive approach, could it change to a more spread them out like you're talking about, Chris? It could, and you wouldn't need a different quarterback to do it. It just so happens that's how they're doing it now. If you want a runner at quarterback, yeah, he'd have been running a little bit in the second half. In the first half, you know, you got a quarterback that's got plenty of time to work his way through the progression and then darn near almost start over again. There was nowhere to go with the football.
Matt Stinchcomb with us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. I know you said he had time to throw, but when it came to running the ball, and I know they shuffled a bunch of guards left and right, literally, in the game, but were you surprised to see them beat Georgia for the most part when it came to the running game at the line of scrimmage?
Georgia, they didn't get any explosive runs, and I was expecting to see a game similar to what we saw from Georgia versus Missouri a season ago, where you're going, wow. I mean, they got after him up front, did Missouri. And, yeah, Javon Kinlaw is like a Derrick Brown type of a defensive tackle. Quiet, it's been kept. I think he's announced his presence now. But there are plenty of runs where that offensive line looked downright dominant. And if you watch the film, there is no arguing that. The issue is that in that second half, first of all, wasn't enough in the first half. You didn't get the explosive runs that you needed. But you're talking about box counts where the defense has got an additional defender and you're still picking up 4 and 6 yards at a time. No, they're not 20 and 30. 4 and 6 yards, that's pretty sporty. But the problem, I think, became is that Georgia was counting on being able to do that, and it became pretty apparent you're going to have to make a living doing that. And when the offensive line was compromised personnel-wise, it didn't look nearly as good. You know, in the first half, I thought that offensive line, and I've been relatively critical of them in the past, I thought they played pretty good football. So, there was one play on the back shoulder, on the back foot throw by Jake Fromm where they lost on a tackle end twist. Fromm should have thrown that football away. Right. You can't protect perfectly every time.
Yeah, that ball needs to be where nobody can catch it, and that's the biggest mistake of the game. Biggest physical and mental mistake by Jake Fromm, and it really did. They paid a price. When you watch the end of clock management, decision making, because when you're calling a game and you see a final score, you probably are like, "Well, I got to see how the hell that happened," especially in double overtime.
Sure.
Can I? Horrified is the word that I would use. That's how I felt as I was watching how that thing played out. Can I ask what word you used when you watched it back?
As far as the clock management is concerned?
Yeah, the idea of 13 seconds, 8 seconds.
Run another play?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's not run another play. There was disorganization.
Even prior to that, he let a little more time tick off the clock before he used the timeout.
Yeah, my thing would be that when you look at it, first of all, you miss you can check down to DeAndre Swift. He's right over the football, right in the middle. You get a bad ball. I think that was the first down play. So you get a first down play, it's incomplete pass. That's play you're trying to chip away with, I think, 38 seconds maybe.
Correct.
On the clock at that point in time. By then, when you get to, you know, do you cram another play in? I think you do. This is kind of like, it's reminiscent of 2012, isn't it, in the SEC championship game? And everybody's saying, oh, you clocked the ball right there. Clock it and just run one more play. You know what play I'm talking about, right?
Oh, yeah.
And instead, Georgia ends up trying to cram in another play. There was time to do it. It makes sense to do it. If you don't do it, you're wasting a play. And right there, what Georgia's thought was, clearly, with 8 seconds, you've got time to run one more snap, gain some yards, and instead, you end up with a procedure penalty because you snapped the football as the two receivers at the top of the formation were trying to shift.
Matt,
5 yards.
You're right.
Cost you.
And so 5 yards, it loses you, and hindsight's always 20/20. If you had to do it again, if you're Kirby Smart, do you think you send out Rodrigo for 60 as opposed to a Hail Mary?
For a 60-yard field goal?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't. 60-yard field goal, guys. Y'all would send him out there for a 60-yarder, huh?
I mean, he's Rodrigo Blankenship. I'm saying that the percentages certainly don't favor it, but what favors a Hail Mary in that situation?
Well, here's
either.
What I know. You can get a penalty. You can get a penalty.
You know, he asked this question, too. He also asked the question afterward. They were like, hey, man, have you been jaded or scarred by that kick six?
Yeah.
I don't know that that's what he was thinking. It's a 60-yard field goal. I'm just sitting there, and I'm going, and he already had one block from distance,
right?
Which, as we know, the trajectory of that ball coming out on distance field goals is lower.
Look, I'm not saying he would have made it. It could have been blocked. They could have taken it the other way. A lot of bad things could have happened, but percentage-wise, I mean...
But you're looking for a penalty, too.
It's bad either way, percentage-wise, the Hail Mary versus the field goal.
But on a Hail Mary, are you not thinking, hey, we could also get a flag in our favor and still get another chance?
You never know, although you don't see those often.
No.
Right? Those Hail Marys are scrums, and they oftentimes just let them play. But I do think a 60-yard field goal, if I'm playing the percentages, I'll just go ahead and take my shot at a Hail Mary versus having a field goal unit out there, right? I don't think the kick six played into it right there, though. I really don't. I think they're just going 60 yards. Come on.
Well, I think the
block.
I think the block already plays more into it than the pick than the kick six. So here's my thing with the 8 seconds. I have no problem running a play, and I'm on record of saying that. But you can't be so disorganized trying to get a play off at that point where you have two guys looking at each other going, you move, I move. Like, that's a disorganization. It's not mismanagement.
No,
I understand
why
you were trying to do it. But you can't be at the line of scrimmage with guys going, I don't know, what do we got? You had time to get a play in and run it as not normal as it is to try to set up a chance to win the game. You have to practice it to be normal.
No doubt. Yeah, well, and the issue was you had – two receivers to the left side of the formation that were misaligned.
Right.
You were going to have an ineligible receiver by the way they initially lined up, and as they're switching, and you can see Will Muschamp running down there just to remind the linesman, hey, just FYI, and he was all over it. that the ball was snapped before those two receivers were reset, and they were misaligned to begin with, and it ended up costing you. It cost you 5 yards, and then it goes back to your scenario, Nick, where now instead of kicking a 60-yard field goal, you're saying, we'd rather go with the Hail Mary. The bigger issue is this. It should have never gotten to that point.
You're right.
You scored 17 points.
You're absolutely right.
You scored 17 points in a 2-overtime game at home.
That's right. That's exactly right. It's just, it really is, it's hard to wrap your head around it. The four turnovers, which two of those I think you can put squarely on Fromm. The other two, and the fumbled snap, it looked to me like that was on Fromm as well. He's trying to get that out of there a little bit early when he was under center. But there's other plays within that game where you're sitting there going, you can't take turns messing up. You can't take turns stepping in. And give South Carolina credit. They tackled on defense phenomenally well. There was a couple of times where they've got defensive tackles retracing on what would otherwise be the explosive run plays that Georgia didn't get. And they're making shoelace tackles, but it's a hustle play. It's a great play. Those guys, they on defense – played extremely well when it comes to tackling. It wasn't necessarily some great scheme. They played good ball.
Factually accurate. You have everything still in front of you. That's factually accurate. The problem is the world has not worked in a vacuum. To me, if I'm a Georgia fan, while you can try to pitch that to me, you've got to also tell me, what are you going to fix that you actually lost this game? Do you think Florida's not trying to get better? You think Auburn's not trying to get better? This idea that there's a hesitancy, I think, in thinking that what you probably thought in August. Florida's not ready yet. You know, we're going to be in a much better place. Well, I think this game better give you pause, because I don't think winning the rest of your games is going to be as easy, not because of a mental thing, but because of physically the things, or at least some of them, you weren't able to do.
You got to look at, first of all, the silver lining, I think you have to look at quarterback. The larger body of work says it's unlikely that you have another 4-turnover game. And incidentally, it's not just the 4 turnovers, it's 0 takeaways.
Yeah.
Not 1 takeaway. So turnover margin works both ways in that regard. But you look at what you've got this week, which incidentally, it might be a more heightened challenge because of what Kentucky has at quarterback now with Lynn Bowden Jr., converted wide receiver. The kid played quarterback in high school, just ran for almost 200 yards, albeit against a pretty ugly-looking Arkansas football team. But you've got them, and then after that, you're facing a Florida team that's playing – their backup quarterback. So the question is that, do you reassert yourself or do you doubt yourself? And is, in fact, what you saw on Saturday a more accurate depiction of who you are as a football team? You have to think that it isn't. The defense played winning football. The offensive front, until it got compromised, we'll say. Cade Mays, I think, played his third different position this season. He gets crammed in there at left tackle. You've got your third string, if you want to call it that, right guard in there at right guard. Bad timing in the second half, and it showed. So they got to get healthy up front if that's who their identity is going to be. It looked like Georgia just felt like they could run the football on this team, and it just didn't work out consistently enough to where you could win it for 4 quarters. Can you do that versus a pretty good-sized Kentucky defensive front? You certainly should be able to throw into that secondary of Kentucky. You'll find out on Saturday.
So, finishing up with Matt Stinchcomb on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line here on The Fan.
Before we talk about what you have this weekend, there is also one other elephant in the room if you're a Georgia fan. And whether it's fair or unfair, you're looking at
an Alabama elephant?
You're talking about what...
That could be somewhere down the road.
But you're talking about what quarterback play is, whether it's Justin Fields, who was here, whether it's Tua, whether it's certainly Jalen Hurts, who could have been available to you. And I'm not telling you he was coming here. But there is that other part. Why can't I have that? And look, the world is littered with people who are coveting thy neighbor's goods. But
yeah,
there is, after a game like this, that moment where you go, well, why don't we do that? We're supposed to be able to go get anybody we want. Why don't we do that? Why don't we have that?
And that's natural, right? After a game like that, of course you're going to say, the most popular player on every roster is the backup quarterback after a loss. Sometimes it's the backup quarterback even when things are going well, because the potential is out there. We all hold that tightly. And everyone's going to point to that. Some people were already pointing to that before. But when you look at it, it's not just my opinion. It could be anyone else's. I mean, it could be the guys that are watching this, the Todd Blackledges of this world, or even a Gary Danielson. Those guys have watched a lot of football, played quarterback. And they marvel at it. Heck, we had Jeremy Pruitt this past week talking about they had 19 defensive calls that they not only executed it, but it was the exact defense that they would have wanted to be in versus what Georgia was trying to do, and they still lost five of those. And he said, we lost them because of the quarterback at Georgia. I'd love to have seen how good we would have been if I had Jake Fromm as my quarterback. That's pretty high praise when you consider the mind that it's coming from, defensive-minded guy. So, you know, you have to think that Jake Fromm doesn't play that way again. He's certainly capable of it, as is everybody else on that football field. He's going to take the brunt of this because of the turnovers. He could have played much better and typically has. But whether he can run or not, or if he was 3 inches taller or not, I don't think that that's the issue. I think the guy had a really bad outing.
And the key is he's always bounced back from bad outings. Let's see if that's the case on Saturday at 6 o'clock. What game do you have this week?
I've got Auburn visiting Arkansas. So it's the battle of the Malzahn disciples. One's the actual teacher, and then the other one's the pupil who's kind of been in detention most of the year.
And Auburn licking their chops a little bit.
Yeah, I think that they're probably ready to get back at it, right? Especially given what happened down there at the Swamp. I can think that they've been sharpening their sword. We'll see. Chad Morris's defense has struggled most of the season.
Okay, we had mentioned that we were talking earlier about a neighborhood I grew up in. Guys would have a baseball bat in the backseat of the car. Maybe it was a crowbar. Nick said he had a blackjack. We don't know why. I said it was more of a nunchuck man, maybe even the stars. Once in a while, if I found myself in trouble, I'd just fling one of those stars at you. Have you ever carried anything in your vehicle or on your person that would sort of constant? We said hitting a guy with a coffee pot is very, very underrated.
Not that you would carry one in your vehicle.
No, but there's not a lot of coffee pots today. You got to hit him with a Keurig, and that's not really the same thing. But have you ever sort of,
for protection, you know,
prided yourself as a guy who carried something with him?
Prided myself?
Yeah.
For carrying something?
Yeah.
No.
Bat in a
no.
car? No.
No. I got to tell you, I try to avoid those types of scenarios if at all possible.
Brass knuckles?
Yeah. No, not the brass knuckles. Those are illegal, I think, fellas.
They are.
Well, we brought that up with the blackjack. I think they are
very much are.
I think that's also illegal.
Yeah. No, I can't recall ever doing that. And the old K-cup to the head, I don't know if that gets anything done for you.
We spoke of that as well.
No, I mean, it's just
not going to be much.
It'll be silly. It's like a comedy routine.
Did you also believe that your size would probably be the deterrent needed?
I will say this. This was interesting and eye-opening for me. When I was, at my peak, maximum density, we'll call it, 330 or whatever, 300-plus pounds, you could get away with saying a lot more than you can get away with at 240. I didn't realize that, and I had a couple of guys kind of size me up. I was not used to that sort of reaction, and they probably could have whipped me. I don't know. I got a bad back, man. I don't need to be popping off the way
I
used.
You said, it's just better to avoid confrontation.
Yeah. Time for honesty,
especially
though.
As we get older.
Time for honesty. Were you ever around I want to call it a barroom fight. Because sometimes what do people want? They want to take a shot at the belt. Oh, big NFL guy. Not you in particular. I don't mean you. But maybe you were out one night with dinner with some offensive linemen.
Having dinner in the Bay Area, something happens.
Right. Were you ever witness to any of that?
Yes.
Your silence speaks volumes.
No. Now you have to. I have to play the do tell.
Yeah, that's happened a time or two. Yeah, especially in Oakland.
Yeah.
Have you ever been out to Oakland? It's not much of a vacation spot.
No. Did civilian Joe, the guy who decided to step to somebody, pay the price, or was it Quelch before that ever happened?
It was actually a guy. We were actually in Durham, California, a farming community, and I don't know if that guy thought that his boots counted his size or what, but we figured it out.
Yeah, it didn't go well for him
as
well.
He's in that cornfield somewhere right now as we speak. All right, Matt Stinchcomb, always a pleasure. Enjoy Arkansas, and we'll talk again next week.
All right, guys. Talk with you soon.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Stinchcomb joining us on the Loud Security Systems Newsmaker line. Now
those farm guys do think every once in a while.
Yeah, well, and some of them are very farm strong, but when you're going up against NFL offensive linemen, odds are very much against you.